This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Next, Kathy Golden talks with Roger Gottlieb, professor of philosophy at Worcester Polytechnic Institute and the editor of 12 books on subjects ranging from political philosophy to environmental politics.
Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air.
Dr. King's dream was that one day our nation would live out the true meaning of its creed, that all men are created equal. The trouble is, our founding fathers put in writing a principle that has never been embraced by all. The politically incorrect, real-life America we wake up to each day is proof that we are not wholly committed to that principle. At the current pace, college graduation parity between blacks and whites will not be reached until 2075, more than 200 years after the end of slavery. Just the same, we have grown since the days of the whites-only drinking fountain, and we owe much of that progress to men and women such as James Cone, Joanna Macy, Daniel Berrigan, Vandana Shiva, and of course, Dr. King, people who found spiritual wisdom in the search for justice. I'm paraphrasing the dedication of Roger Gottlieb's latest anthology, Liberating Faith, a collection of the voices that have stirred our conscience. Kathy Golden talks with Roger Gottlieb.
Liberating Faith, Religious Voices for Justice, Peace, and Ecological Wisdom, edited by Roger Gottlieb. This is an incredibly ambitious tome. What possessed you to put this together?
Well, I really do think that in many ways religion has gotten a bad rap in the last years. And by that, I mean it's become associated almost exclusively with right-wing politics, with people who are against women's liberation, who are unconscious about the environment, who often may support American imperialism, and who can get extremely violent at times, who can, in their most worst versions, will shoot abortion providers or blow up skyscrapers. And this is not the full truth about religion. Religion has its conservative sides, of course, but religion is also liberating. And so I want to put together in one place the evidence for that claim, and show that individual religious people, theologians, priests, ministers, rabbis, leaders of major religious organizations, have all come out for positions which we can only describe as progressive, as supportive of women's liberation, supportive of peace, concerned with economic justice, very committed to altering our current industrial practices in relation to the environment. These are really voices of a liberating faith. They exist, and they're around the world, and they make up part of society, and they need to be recognized.
I turned right away to Theodore S. Wright, Prejudice Against the Colored Man, because about a year or so ago, I was interviewing the lady who wrote Ghosts of Mississippi, Marianne Vollers, and she gave me a quote from, I believe it comes from Theodore Wright, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice."
Right.
So then I immediately turned and started reading Mr. Wright's essay in there. Can you give me your own feedback on what you think of Mr. Wright and what he says and whether or not anything's really changed?
Well, you know, I think the point is that when people say that this is a secular country and separation of church and state, they forget how much of the best parts of our history, for instance, the abolition of slavery, turned on a very strong religious presence. The articulation of freedom for slaves was often done in the form of a religious argument in terms of love thy neighbor, we're all God's children, things like that. That's a very important fact. You know, people say, well, we want to have a purely secular country. Really? You want to do without that religious presence in the abolition of slavery? Some people will argue that the whole idea of human rights in some ways derives from the idea that we're all created by the same God. We're all made in God's image. So religious values have been intertwined in our country's history. Now, that doesn't mean we have to lay down in front of the first guy to throw a Bible at us. It means we have to take our place, those of us who care about such things, in the process of interpreting those texts, standing with one part of the tradition rather than another part of tradition, and making those of us who care about religious ideas, making them live in the public square in a way that's compatible with democracy and pluralism.
You do have a letter from Birmingham Jail in here by Martin Luther King Jr. What do you suppose, if he were alive today, would be any different than it is right now?
Well, you know, King was a truly great man. Unfortunately, his greatness, as it's represented in the United States, is pretty much confined to being against racial segregation and doing it nonviolently. Now, those are important things, clearly, but his general critique of economic inequality in the United States, his attempt, which was brief and which was failed, but his sense of it, that you had to forge some kind of alliance between poor blacks and poor whites and sort of connect up the black movement to the labor movement, and his very powerful denunciation of American imperialism in Vietnam. I mean, he did that even though it cost him a lot of white allies. That sort of thing, you know, is certainly very much needed today. I mean, I think King would see that the African-American movement took a wrong turn when it sort of settled for becoming clients of the welfare state, you know, sort of being a social revolutionary got translated into qualifying for benefits. And that was really too bad. And he also would not allow the United States, as much as he could, to say that we are fighting for freedom, when a lot of times they're propping up dictatorships and just paving the way for the oil companies. I think the idea of peace is very important, especially because religion has been so many times, in so many ways, involved in ethnic conflict and religious conflict. Obviously, it's an element of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. We find it between Hindus and Muslims. There's a tremendous violence that has been bound up in religion. On the other hand, there is what I call the culture of religion, and within that culture, we often find elements for a tremendous sense of peacefulness. I mean, there's a wonderful piece in the book by Stanley Hauerwas, who's a leading Protestant theologian, talking about why he will not support a war even after September 11th. There's a marvelous piece by John Paul Lederach, who's a professional Mennonite peacemaker. The Mennonite Church supports financially the creation of close to 1,000 peacemakers who just go around the world into really dangerous trouble spots, and they try to bring warring factions together. Lederach, who's a really terrific writer, talks about his own struggles with his own projection of hatred onto the enemy and how he tries to deal with that. So, you know, I think there are a lot of conflicts in the world where a secular leftist just wants to look and see issues of justice. Who's the oppressed? Who's the oppressor? Who's right? Who's wrong? But there are also contexts, and Palestine, Israel is one of them, where you have inherited generation upon generation of trauma, of fear, of pain. And if we're going to move forward, we have to take a more universal and more human view and also say, well, look, just tell me about your pain and listen to mine. And let's see if we can meet as mothers, as fathers, as children, as people who care about life. Let's see if we can try to move beyond our histories. And I think, you know, the best of religious peacemaking is an essential part of that.
I can't thank you enough for providing this to all of us. Liberating Faith by Roger Gottlieb, Roman and Littlefield publication. Can it be gotten anywhere?
Amazon has it, and the Roman and Littlefield website has it. So,
thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Roger.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope.
He didn't get there with us, but more importantly, we aren't there yet ourselves. Truth is, we have overcome quite a lot. Our Secretary of State, Colin Powell, is African American, and our National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice, is a black woman. No question, that's progress. But a new report from United for a Fair Economy, The State of the Dream, assesses the racial gap on a more pragmatic level. Whereas the average black family had 60% as much income as a white family in 1968, in 2002, that figure dropped to 58%. Black unemployment is now more than double the white rate, and that gap is also wider than it was in 1972. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. brought us part of the way. The rest we must do ourselves. As inspiring as he ever was, we could all stand to listen to him again. So here is a portion of Dr. King's remarks from his I Have a Dream speech.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope, This is a faith that I go back to the South with. Yes. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
If Dr. King had lived to celebrate his 75th birthday, would he be more impressed with how far we've come or how far we still have to go?
Email us. Go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL.
Well, that's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Signe Waller and Roger Gottlieb are just some of the voices of our world. Voices of Our World is a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. Our producers are Kathy Golden and Eleanor Ostrinsky, and our executive producer is Larry Rich. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Love and Revolution, a Political Memoir, and Liberating Faith, Religious Voices for Justice, Peace, and Ecological Wisdom, are both Roman and Littlefield publications. The Spiritual, Over My Head, was sung by Arthur Jones.
Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org. You can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, and answer our weekly question. Check it out, www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or to try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please, join us next time for more Voices of Our World.